100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the studio for 19 or long, so me say.
Hey, 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 it's Digital Sister back. I had some things come up, so I couldn't drop the podcast on Tuesday like I usually do. But you know I wouldn't stay away from you for very long. I'm back, and back with more commentary and interesting reflections. Thanks again to all the listeners that continue to tune in. I've even had fans tuning in from Ecuador, Mexico, New Zealand. Isn't that something? And some other places. So thanks for listening, and thanks for continuing to pass the podcast along. Anyway, let's get right to the dirt. Ah, Corrine Steffens. You may know her as the Video Vixen. And she's been in the news a lot lately because she's kind of being, I don't want to say blamed, but she's kind of in the mix with the whole Bobby and Whitney thing. And we know her as Video Vixen because she was one of the, probably one of the first Video Vixens, you know, the hood ornaments that a lot of the rappers used in their videos. And she's had quite a little list of paramours, too. There was Ice-T, Dr. Dre, Shaquille O'Neal, Usher, Ja Rule, DMX, Diddy, Fred Durst, who's the lead singer of Limp Bizkit, Vin Diesel, and they said some skank named Eva. Don't know who that is. But in any event, she's kind of in this whole mix. And as you know, Bobby was just picked up again for failure to pay child support in Massachusetts for his two kids there. So I'm wondering, with her putting out all this information and denying that she is the cause of the breakup of Bobby and Whitney's marriage, is she going to be the one to pay the $11,000 to bail him out? I mean, Whitney did it for several years, but she's filed for legal separation, and now that the 5 months or the 6 month residency law in California is in place, she probably has another month where she's going to go ahead and file that divorce. But I wonder, you know, what's going to happen? And, you know, is she going to pick up the slack from Whitney? Somehow I doubt it. You know, and it's probably a case where Bobby will just be floating around, you know, trying to see who can help him out. But in any event, she, you know, seems to be someone who turned her celebrity as the, I want to say, the hood ornament for the rap videos, and then she wrote a book talking about all the exploits. She apparently has done very well because, you know, when Bobby left Whitney, he went to stay with her in her Beverly Hills mansion. So, you know, I ain't mad at her. She's doing pretty good. And she also, I don't know if she's still with him, but she was with Bill Maher, politically correct him. So she's had quite a little interesting background as to all the people she's been involved with. But it's going to be very interesting to see if, with him kind of being in trouble again, is she going to be the one to help him out, or as it happens with so many situations, they may let you hang out and all that, but when it comes to paying some of those bills, you know, you're out of there. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with her, how this whole divorce thing pans out, and in fact, will Bobby be back in jail? But in any event, Corrine Steffens is a household name, and she's out there, and she's really trying to deny that she had anything to do with the breakup of their marriage. And she said, hey, if a marriage is already wrecked, that's not my fault. But in any event, there she is. Let's move on to talk about what's going on with this whole new CW network. As you know, the CW merged between UPN and what was the other one? UPN and, oh God, I'm going blank here. UPN and the WB network. And it was something that happened so fast. And as you know, a lot of our favorite black sitcoms were on the UPN network. An example was Everybody Hates Chris, which debuted in 2005 on a Thursday night. And it was getting like really good ratings, critically acclaimed success. You know, everybody loved it. And this year, this season, they've added Whoopi Goldberg as a recurring role for the show. But with this new CW merger, a lot of the shows that we like have now been put on at a different time. And so what's happened is those shows have been put on Sunday evening, and they didn't do so well, which is, I guess, kind of surprising to some degree. For instance, with Everybody Hates Chris, it attracted some 2.4 million viewers, but it's about a 70% drop from the number of people who turned in when the sitcom debuted in 2005. And that's kind of like the same thing with one of my favorite shows, which is Girlfriends. Now, I love that show because it was very much like Living Single and Martin, because it showed young, you know, middle class, relatively slightly affluent, but not really overly affluent, but, you know, working class, young African Americans living in Detroit, as with Martin, or living in Brooklyn, Manhattan, with Living Single. But it was great to see, you know, young African Americans who had various careers and, you know, these friendships that they have. But, you know, it wasn't pathological. It wasn't tragic. It was looking at situations from friends that we all have, and it was something that we could relate to. And when those shows, you know, were canceled and went off the air, it just left a big void in television watching. I mean, I love watching old episodes of Living Single and Martin that come on, you know, at midnight on some of the other channels. But in any event, what's happened now, and getting back with Girlfriends, it's sad because now Tony Childs, who was made popular by actress Jill Marie Jones, isn't on the show. And this is just my opinion, of course. I have a feeling that since they're now on the CW and they suffered the same lack of viewers or loss of viewers that Everybody Hates Chris suffered, and with the change of no Tony Childs, I mean, she was the spice of the show. I have a feeling that Girlfriends may be on one more season, you know, two more seasons at best, but I think this is probably going to be the last season because it's just lost some of the spice without Tony, and being on this new CW hasn't brought it a growing viewing audience. In fact, they had a 30% drop in the number of viewers that they had. About 2.7 million viewers tuned in on Sunday. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting to see how this is going to pan out. You know, you wonder sometimes about the business decisions and why, if something was working with UPN, you know, why try to fix it and then break it up and create something that may or may not be working? So it's going to be interesting to see if the shows that have African-American casts, if they will survive and if they will last. And if they don't, you know, it'll be interesting to see what type of programming will be created to make the new CW network work. And, you know, the merger was fast, and these shows on the UPN were up against some other regular network shows, but they were able to hold their own. So, you know, I kind of wonder what's going to happen with the CW. Will it catch on? Will people tune in to see more of the programming? A couple years ago, Fox launched, you know, their network, and they had the shows like, remember, and they were great shows like 21 Jump Street, Married with Children, and The Simpsons. Those shows put Fox on the map. And when UPN was around, you know, Martin, Living Single, Girlfriends put UPN on the map. But now with the CW, you know, things are up in the air. It's like a big bag of marbles you just kind of throw up in the air and you're going to see where it lands. But that's not really cool, because what happens is with African-American actors, when they finally do get a show, a change like this can mean the end of sitcom work for them. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that all pans out with the CW. Looks like Smokey Robinson is going to be on a soap opera, Days of Our Lives. It's going to be around November 14th and 15th, and he has a little interaction with the character Marlena out in some woods. But in any event, it's great to see him on television again, and great to see him in an acting role, because he is just so, so fine. He still looks good. And I knew of someone who knew of him, and they said, you know, he really hasn't changed. He's still pretty much the same person he was back in the early days before he became famous, you know, with the Miracles and the whole Motown thing. He just seems to be like a really cool guy. But something you probably didn't know is that he also is an entrepreneur, and he owns a food company with actor Leon Isaac Kennedy of the Penitentiary 1, 2, and 3 fame, who was married a long, long time ago to Jane Kennedy. She was the beautiful African-American Miss Ohio who had the coup back in the 70s of calling the NFL shows as an NFL commentator. But any event, that's who Leon was married way, way back in the day. But yeah, Smokey is an entrepreneur. He's got a food company. I can't remember the name exactly, but, you know, they put very good things out, greens, kind of some soul food dishes and some other things. And he's got quite a few stores in which his products are in. So, you know, I think that's great. He has been able to stay in the music business. He's still making music, but he also has some other outside interests, which I think is great. So kudos to Smokey. And remember, it's nice to see him again, too, because the last time I think we saw him in an acting role was, remember the movie The Temptations that Suzanne DePass produced about maybe 3 or 4 years ago? He was in there. So it's good to see Smokey stretching his wings and doing some acting. Oh, let's talk about Barbara Streisand. She is on tour now, and she just launched her 20-date tour Monday, starting in Philadelphia. I love Barbara Streisand. I just love her. And if I had an extra $3,000, I would pay that. That is one artist I would pay that kind of money to see. It would be like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But she's doing a great thing, and this 20-date tour is primarily to raise money for her charitable foundation. And, you know, from what I'm reading, she makes some pretty good donations to particularly political causes. So it's great to hear that she's back on tour. It's great to hear that she seems to be very relaxed and really enjoying herself. And, you know, I wish I had $3,000 that I could pay for a seat, for a front row seat, just to talk to her, meet her, even interview her. What a thing that would be. So good luck to Barbara on your tour. We love you, and we're glad to see you back. Now, let's talk a little bit about, oh my God, you know, when I saw this, I was a little sad. Remember actress Cleopatra Jones? She played the role Cleopatra Jones, but her real name was Tamara Dobson. Remember her? She was tall, she was beautiful, and she was a model turned actress who portrayed, you know, the character Cleopatra Jones in two of the black exploitation films back in the 70s. It was, remember, Cleopatra Jones and The Casino of Gold. You know, she was 6 feet two. I remember she was very tall. But sad note, she passed away on Monday at age 59 of complications from pneumonia and multiple sclerosis. And she apparently had been in this assisted living care facility for the last 2 years because of her illness. And she really was quite a trailblazer back in that day. She also designed a lot of the costumes that she wore, and she was really about playing a strong female character. And she also did some other roles too. She had some movie roles, and she had, she was in Comeback Charleston Blue, Norman Is That You, Murder at the World Series, and Chained Heat. And she did some TV roles in the 80s, Jason of Star Command and Buck Rogers in the 25th century. She lived most of her life in New York, and she was diagnosed with MS 6 years ago. So we send our condolences to her family, and she will be missed, and she left at least something that we can all look at from time to time. So we miss you, Tamara Dobson. Oh, what's going on with these shootings? I just can't believe it. You know, there were 3 shootings in 1 week. And this whole thing with the shootings in the Amish community is just really, really terrible. You know, I don't know what we can do except we have to ensure that guns are not as available, and we have to ensure that we can do something about that. I mean, it's really, really, really sad. And I talk about this because of my training with social work, is that what's happening today is we have so many people who are psychotic and in psychological pain. But rather than get help and deal with those issues, you know, the private hell becomes a public display of violence. And that is just not cool. I mean, if you want to take yourself out because you're unhappy, hey, go ahead. But don't come to some public location, a school or a workplace, and, you know, kill people that have absolutely nothing to do with your personal pain. And it also, I think, touches on you know, some other social factors, which I think is very interesting too, because sometimes the media and sometimes people with their own personal attitudes want to lump the gun violence in a particular community, and you know who I'm talking about, the urban community. And there's a little bit of a difference, because I talked about this in previous podcasts too, about the black-on-black crime. With black males, you know, there seems to be a very high rate of homicide, more so than with white males, and pretty much the reason why it stems from disrespect and devaluation. Not necessarily psychosis in the way that we see a lot of these other shootings in these other areas. So it's kind of interesting that in one community there's one particular type of shooting, and then when you look at the shootings that happened back with the Columbine issue back in Colorado back in 1999 and some of the other shootings that have happened in, quote, you know, very upscale white suburban communities. And we look at that and we see that there's a little difference with what happens there. In those situations, the males who happen to be white in those suburban schools, those young men, I mean, they do these very public shootings and then they commit suicide, you know, by shooting themselves. To me, that's kind of cowardly after you do something so horrible. And it's the same thing with this guy who did the shooting of those 10 girls and 5 of which who passed away, which we are so sorry about. But, you know, it's psychotic. And he had some issues that he never dealt with. And here is something that comes up 20 years later that makes him do something so horrendous. And I think the it's not really a lesson, but I think well, yes, it is a lesson in some degree, that in many ways we can no longer just lump the gun violence into, quote, the urban community as one group's particular problem. This problem is all over the country, and for the most part we see that it's primarily done by males, and it's primarily done in the suburban areas by white males, and within the urban community it seems to be more individual black on black type of crime, individual shooting another individual, maybe one person. But with these suburban shootings, they seem to take place in very public places, you know, in schools. And so the lesson is, gun violence is not owned by one community. It is a problem across this country. It's a problem across the world. People are becoming more disturbed, and they're more psychotic, and unfortunately, they feel that the way to express their psychosis is to take it out with a public display. So I think it would behoove people here in the States and maybe some other countries, maybe they're doing it, but we've got to look at a way to have some kind of mental health facilities available so people can go and talk and get the help. What's happened in the mental health landscape is that so many of the mental health facilities have closed. There's really no place to get help. Very often insurance doesn't cover things or doesn't cover treatment long enough. So people are like walking time bombs. So I think rather than constantly looking at other solutions that are not working, we need to look at doing something to deal with the mental health and getting people access to mental health so that they can deal with these issues that make them psychotic and then, in fact, make them take out their psychosis in very public display. So, you know, gun violence is not just an urban problem. It's everybody's problem, and we all have to figure out a way to end it. It's just absolutely horrible. But, of course, now I have to touch on this whole thing with the sex scandal, you know, with the congressional page and the whole Mark Foley incident. Isn't it interesting that this arrogant congressman has been doing this kind of behavior for a couple of years, and people who were above him, let's say Speaker of the House in the Congress, happens to be Dennis Hastert right now, but people in the positions of power, from what the information said, seem to look the other way, and they didn't really do anything. And so when this whole thing exploded last week, and people are calling for, you know, the resignation of Dennis Hastert, isn't it interesting how at first he was very, like, arrogant, no, I'm not going to quit, no, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to step down. But now his tone's a little different now. He's apologizing, and he's saying that, you know, probably we should have done more. He didn't say I, but he said we should have done more. But isn't it interesting how a couple years ago, here's Bill Clinton just getting a blowjob from an intern, and we had the conservative faction calling for impeachment. It tore and brought news to our country that really was embarrassing, that the conservative people would even go through such extensive craziness because they hated Clinton so much because, you know, he did good for the country. And they're calling for his impeachment when he was just getting a blowjob, you know? And here is this guy, and doing it consensually with, you know, another adult. It wasn't like he was a predator. And here's this guy who's obviously a predator and a pedophile to some degree doing these things. And, you know, they're not saying anything. They're trying to put a spin on as if, you know, nobody knew or nobody knew at this time before the information leaked out. So it's very interesting that we have that kind of situation where couple years ago you're ready to hang somebody, and here there's, in my opinion, so much more other stuff going on, and people looking the other way and trying to hang on to their jobs and trying to deflect the issue. So this is very interesting how this whole political thing comes up, and how both parties, when things come up, put a spin on it. So again, I say read the information and make decisions for yourself, but it's really not cool, and it's really not cool that that people in power looked away, you know. Now, let's get to the nonprofit information right now. There's something called the Nonprofit Congress, which will be convening in Washington, D.C. later this month. It's something that's very interesting, and if you check on my radio show, probably in the next few weeks, I'm going to have someone on talking about the Nonprofit Congress, because it's very interesting what they're doing. And basically what they're going to be talking about is that nonprofits are doing a lot of the great work, but it's a challenging environment right now. The industry is kind of fragmented, and that somehow or another there has to be some common things that nonprofits can do to keep the sector thriving. There's some 1.5 million nonprofits that are established, and some 50,000 new organizations receive their tax exempt status every year. That is a booming sector. So it's very interesting that they have this, and as I get more information about it, we will talk about that later. But yeah, we need to have more information about that, because the nonprofit sector deserves, I think, a lot more credit for the contributions that it makes to our society and for the contributions that a lot of people still believe in. The fact that people believe in public service, people believe in many of the missions of many nonprofits. So keep your eyes open for information about the Nonprofit Congress. Very interesting information. Well, I just want to give you a little heads up. It's a new service that's going to be coming out a little bit live later this month called Spot DJ. And when you play some tunes on iTunes, you're going to hear a number of DJs, including myself, Digital Sista, providing some information, which is going to make your listening experience much more interesting and kind of breaks up the monotony of just downloading music and music and music, but not having that whole experience that you have with the radio and the DJ who kind of talks to you and tells you about things. So look for that. It'll be coming out all across the board. I want to say nationally, but you know, with internet, everything is international and national. It'll be rolling out and going beta towards the end of the month. So look for that. It's an exciting thing to be involved with. And you know me, I'm always trying to find cutting edge stuff. Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about the XXL DVD, which I was just starting to check out. I'm going to talk about that in future podcasts, too. Kind of interesting because they have Paul Mall on there. He's the guy that's created all the grills that, like, Nelly and a lot of the rappers are wearing, and some of the female rappers are starting to wear, too. So it's kind of interesting because it talks, you know, it kind of shows how he makes them, and then there's a scene with Fat Joe coming in because he's getting a grill, and there's like a display of the type of grill you might want and the types of jewels that you might want on it. So I thought, wow, how interesting is that? It's like a whole nother cult thing within the hip hop community, but it's a big trend and it's very popular, and you know, a lot of folks are getting grills, very much like when hip hop first came out. Remember back in the day when a lot of the rappers were wearing those big gigantic medallions? You know, Flavor Flav had the big clock. You used to see LL Cool J with, you know, the big gold ropes. It's very much like that. It's just that they've moved away from the big medallions, and now people are wearing grills. So it's very interesting just to check that out. So if you're thinking about getting a grill, or if you like them, you know, you may want to pick that up and see just exactly how he does that. And it also gives a nice overview from some rappers in New Orleans who kind of take you through some of the areas that were devastated by Katrina. And they give you some very interesting commentary from the local perspective. And you see some things that, you know, you may not have seen on CNN as they're talking about what's going on with the leftover devastation in that area. But it's really, really kind of interesting, and I'm getting into it. So as I finish looking at it, I'm going to talk to you about it and share some more information with you. And also stay tuned to upcoming podcasts, because I'm going to have an associate of mine on who's going to be talking about some technology things, and just we're just going to mix it up a little bit. So that will be something interesting and coming up in future podcasts. So I hope you will continue to tune in and pass it around to your friends. Keep downloading, keep helping Digital Sis to grow. I really appreciate it, and I'm going to be back with you in a few more days. I want you to have a great week and take care. Digital Sister signing out.
See you in the next one.